Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with our host, Tom Meglia. Tom is a chartered financial consultant, an accredited estate planner, and holds a master's of science in financial services. He's got more than 28 years of financial counseling and coaching experience. He's also a Money Matters Crown Ministry budgeting coach as well. There we go. Send that. I'm Reba Tony, and I am a little under the weather today. He's like, I can tell.
How come?
Oh, I just spent about 40 hours on a plane. Oh, that'll do it, huh?
Yes, it will. Mm. And since we're on, on show 11 of Contentment of the 12-week series, we've got to hear about your trip a little bit. So before we do that, though, Reba, hello.
Hi.
Welcome. Hi. I missed you last week.
Oh, I know. I know.
I'm glad
believe
you're back.
Me, believe me. I would have wanted to be here.
I'm glad you're back safe and sound.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We prayed for you while you were gone.
Oh, good. Good. No. Yeah. I was out of the country. I was in Africa, in a very poor part of that continent, and I'm glad to be back.
Right. And we're going to ask you a question about that in a minute, but let's do this. We always start our program off with 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17.
Uh-huh.
Give it to us, all scripture.
All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for training, for teaching, for correcting and rebuking in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Amen. And, you know, that is so cool, Reba. And I've got another verse for you today.
Oh, okay.
And since we're talking about contentment, I want to remind everybody about another verse for contentment, since that's today is week 11 of a 12-part series on Anchor 4, which is contentment. Isaiah 26:3. And we're going to talk about Isaiah 26:3 more than once in this program today, Reba, on contentment. Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee.
Mm.
So let's remember that. So now we have two wonderful scriptures already that will not return void to any listener that's hearing this program now, or on the internet, on our website, or on OnePlace. You know, we're on OnePlace.com, too.
Oh, fantastic. So many places to find us.
Exactly. So OnePlace.com, the website, TheEconomyOfGod.com, or the radio program.
Right here. Right here. 99.5.
Exactly. So, you know, those are a couple of powerful verses. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, Isaiah 26:3. Now, Reba, we're in the book. Okay, today and next week's final lesson on contentment, we're in the book. So turn to page 178 in the book.
Okay.
And if you don't have the book, folks, you can get it off the website. The book is called Knowing the Economy of God. And the subtitle, of course, is How to Apply God's Financial Principles to Your Normal and Everyday Life. So we're at the top of 178. Reba, let's have the scripture verse.
I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And that's Philippians 4:11 through 13.
Exactly. Now, relay that to the listeners.
Wow.
Based on your trip to Ethiopia last week.
Wow. I tell you what, it's really funny to go from a plane where they're bringing food by you every, you know, 3 hours. And then you step off into this country where there's so many people who just don't have food at all, you know, and you go from plenty to want.
Wow.
And you have to learn, a lot of people can't be content in a situation where, you know, they're in a Land Rover and all, you know, the only water they have for the day is in their backpack. You know, or they don't know where they're going to be sleeping that night, and it may be in a really uncomfortable place, you know, and that's what we were faced with while we were there. And I went to Ethiopia with World Vision, and World Vision would have done anything to make us feel comfortable had the resources been there, but there weren't any good hotels. There weren't any, you know what I mean?
Wow.
They put you up at the best place they can, but it's still Ethiopia.
Hotel Leopold.
Exactly.
Hotel Leopold.
Exactly. And so
what city was this?
Addis Ababa.
Okay.
That's the capital city of Ethiopia. And,
wow.
You know, you don't want to say anything when you're there to the Ethiopians. You don't want to say, wow, this is pretty ghetto. But, you know, cause their capital is their nicest city, but by our standards, it is far from that.
So, Reba, how were you able to be content just for that seven-day period of time when you're from out here, California, Los Angeles area, and we just read this scripture, you know, on page top of page 178, Philippians 4:11-13, where Paul says, "I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." So you, in that situation, went from plenty, L.A. County, to Ethiopia, Hotel Leopold, in want. So how do you, go ahead and give us a little transition thought there.
You know, it's one of those things where when you have to do it, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you step off a plane and your next plane isn't for a week.
Wow.
And then you have to find that contentment somewhere within you. Now, if I had to live there, it would be a lot different. And that would take a lot of prayer.
Because you knew that you were going to leave at some point.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. But if I had to stay there, it would be, I would have to learn to be content.
Wow. That would be a learning thing.
That would be a serious learning thing.
Like
because,
what Paul's saying.
Yeah, because I don't just have it within me to be content in that situation. I would have to really learn that.
Which we've talked about for weeks on this program. In the 12-week series about contentment, we've already decided that Paul, a mature Christian, said he had to learn the secret of contentment. Learn it. Just didn't happen overnight.
Right.
It was a learning process. We are works in progress, and we're learning to be content. And that's a tough situation. There's no 7-Eleven.
No.
There's no Arco Mini Mart, you know, or, you know, Whole Foods to get whatever you want.
No, there's not. I mean, they basically, they eat a food called false banana. And it looks like a banana tree, but no bananas grow on it. And they take the leaves that grow around this tree, and they scrape out the insides, chop it up, bury it in the ground, let it ferment for 3 to 6 months, and then make cakes out of it.
Wow.
It has almost no nutritional value. The only thing it does really is fill up their stomach.
Wow.
And it's just really sad.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So needless to say, Reba, there's many people that are ill there that perhaps shouldn't be, or illness could be prevented through certain things like water treatment and you know, cooking food and so forth. Is that correct?
Oh, definitely. Just they call it food security.
Wow.
They don't have food security. They don't know that next month they're going to have food. Next week they're going to have food.
Right. So one of the things I'm thinking, Reba, you're a sister in the Lord to me. I'm a brother in the Lord to you. I believe that God allowed you to see that for a week to show you some things that you would never have known by watching it on National Geographic or reading it in a textbook. So it's funny how we're on this subject of contentment.
Yeah, it is.
And
it
you
is.
Went to Ethiopia for a week and you saw people that had to be content, you know, to live in those conditions. So it's interesting. You know, I've traveled all around the world, too, and I've seen many things that alarmed me.
Yeah, definitely.
And I, you know, it's really interesting. You have upper class and low class. There's no middle class. Those either have money and can avoid the tough times, or those that don't. So the haves and have-nots. And that plays into what Paul's talking about, Reba. So would you agree with me, Reba, that that was a spiritual lesson?
It was, definitely. I mean, these are, you know, when we think that we have it bad here, we have to realize, I mean, we still have plumbing, we still have water, clean water. I mean,
wow.
Most of us never wonder if we're going to have water to drink.
Right.
I mean, even if you got your water shut off and you couldn't shower, you would still be able to have water to drink. You know, you could go within walking distance to a water fountain.
Right.
You know, but these people don't even have that. It's,
wow.
And it's a whole nation. It's
So those that are believers there in Ethiopia, those that are followers of Christ, they have and must have learned contentment in being in need, being in want.
Yeah.
You know, in any and every situation, the secret of contentment Paul talks about, they must have had to learn that from a physical sense of view. Do you agree with that?
They don't have any choice. I mean, they have to learn that. That's a lesson that they have to learn, you know, whether they want to or not. Now, for us, it's a lesson that we can choose to learn.
Right.
But for them, it's a lesson they have to learn.
Right. So some people, Reba, might be saying, might be thinking, well, I hope I never visit a place like that. I just want my comfort here.
Right.
Knowing I have my nice bed.
I feel that way.
You know, well, and you know, that's interesting that you say that because, you know, you just wonder for a moment, what could the human person do that knows the Lord? And the humans that don't know the Lord, what would they do? Because, you know, God could put us in those situations to teach us lessons.
He sure could. Now, we are in part 11 of a 12-part series. We're talking about contentment. We're going to be right back. We've got some details that are going to help you find contentment.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Dave Dino. There's an old saying, fail to plan, plan to fail. Do you know that most people fail to reach their financial goals simply because they never made them? Or they don't have a solid plan? Now, why is that? Well, because very few people really know how to. You see, most of us get our advice from a friend or a family member or maybe a coworker at the office. We have no formal plan or map to guide us along the way to our financial dreams. We usually have no one to coach us or give us solid advice because most of us don't know where to find a qualified financial advisor that respects our Christian beliefs, one who honors the Bible, takes financial advice and counsel directly from Scripture, and then applies it to our personal financial situation. Well, for over 28 years, Tom Meglia has been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans that work towards achieving their financial goals. Whether you're just getting started or concerned about your current plan, call Tom at 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial coach and planner, to honor God by being a good steward along with reaching your financial goals. Now that's a solid financial plan. Again, call 800-386-3700. That phone number to call is 800-386-3700. Or log on to Tom's website at theeconomyofgod.com. That's theeconomyofgod.com. Or, if you'd like more information about how you can have Tom come and share knowing the economy of God with your group, your Sunday school class, or hosting a workshop at your church, call 800-386-3700. That's Tom Meglia at 800-386-3700. 800-386-3700. Call him.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
All right, welcome back to Knowing the Economy of God with our host Tom Meglia. If you've been missing Money Matters this week, well, we're glad you tuned in because we are talking about a godly contentment concerning your finances, which is the fourth anchor in the four anchor series that you can find at knowingtheeconomyofgod.com.
Yes.
Tom's book, Knowing the Economy of God. We're in one of the final chapters, page 178.
Mm-hmm. And we're also adding, Reba, to the scriptural section, the citing of the scriptures of contentment, Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee.
Oh, wow.
And I tell you, you know, it's another tool God gives us, that verse, Isaiah 26:3, when we're in Ethiopia or any other situation, the doctor's office wondering about the test results of our MRIs or any other situation, it's very important we memorize Isaiah 26:3. In fact, I think what I'm going to do from now on our radio program, we're going to add that to the beginning verses that we talk about in the very beginning. Uh-huh. We're going to add that to 2 Timothy 3,
okay,
16 and 17. From now on, Isaiah 26:3, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Now, Reba, we're going to move over to page 180.
Okay.
Since we're talking about contentment and how Paul's been learning the secret of contentment in Philippians 4:13, where Paul says he can do all things through Christ who gives him strength. We're going to take a test right now. Okay. When reading the following list, Here's your test.
Okay.
Listener, driving around. Think about whether any of the incidences that we're about to mention, and you can find this on page 180 of the book, would make you feel happier if they were to happen. In other words, Reba, what would it take to be really happy in your life, to be truly happy in your life? Which of these things have to happen in order for you to say, I would be truly happy? So, Reba, I want you to read this list, please,
okay,
very slowly, so the listeners can say, check. No, okay. No, not that one. Check. No, not that one. Okay, I would be truly happy in life. And this is what we're trying to discover, if you're content or discontent. Okay, so go ahead and start the quiz.
Okay, so you're going to say yes or no to this. I would be truly happy in life if I could get married.
Number one.
I could get divorced.
Number two.
I could be rich.
Number three.
My child was healed from illness.
Number four.
I was healed from illness.
Number five.
I could get a particular job.
Number six.
I could get out of debt.
Number seven.
I could retire financially independent.
Number eight.
I could get revenge.
Number nine.
Or I could become famous.
Right. What would it take for all of us as Christians all around the world?
Uh-huh. Well, we're in Los Angeles, so at least half the people said yes to number 10, if I could be famous.
If I could be, oh, no. Well, I'll tell you, that's an interesting story. Okay, I'll tell you a little story about that.
Okay.
I have so many stories, okay? And what's really funny is this lady I met with yesterday, she says to me, Tom, all these tough circumstances in my life force me to God. I have to turn to God. Not that I would have otherwise.
Ooh.
But I've got to turn to God. It forces us to turn to God. Well, since you picked number 10 about famous, I have a story for you. Since the Grammys were on the other night, I remember this man came.
Did you watch the Grammys?
Of course not.
Okay, I was going to say. That's for two reasons.
Two reasons.
One, you don't like the music.
No.
Two, it's way too late for you to stay up.
Yeah.
Okay.
We go to bed like at 8:30.
And that's when the Grammys started, was at 8.
Okay. It was?
Yeah.
Okay, well, forget it. I don't like that kind of music anyway.
And it went till 11.
It did?
Yeah, that's late.
Why do they do that?
I don't know.
First of all, I don't like it anyway, right. You know.
It was clean this year.
It was?
Yeah, that's good.
Well, that's good.
Now, except Shakira.
I don't know who that is. Is that a candy gum or what is that?
No, she's an artist.
It's a person?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I don't know.
Everybody but her.
Okay. Well, I don't know who that is, but, okay. You know, you caught me once on Napoleon Bonaparte.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, okay.
Not Bonaparte.
Okay. I thought the ruler, the...
No.
What? Okay.
I got to get that DVD for your son.
Yeah, well, we have an age thing here. By the way, okay, back to famous. This man came to me a long time ago when I was in business about 10 years after I started. So this would have been 19... Let's see, I started in 78, Reba, so this would be 1988.
Okay.
He came to me. Yes, I'm aged.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm aged. Okay, listen to this, though. He came to me in 88 and says, Tom, I blew up my family. I go, oh, no. What happened? You know, he answered the radio ad off KKLA.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah. And I said, what happened? He said, well, I don't know if you know this, but I'm a Grammy Award winner. And I go, well, you're not a grandma. He says, no, Grammy. I said, I have a Grammy. He's all, no, do you know? He's like, huh? I didn't know it was a music award at the time. And it's like the Oscar award, but for music, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So he says, well.
Yeah, because this was the 49th annual.
Was
so
it?
That was about halfway through when he came to you.
Really? That's weird. I didn't know that. Well, he says to me, I blew up my family because I had a goal to be famous in California and Los Angeles. And then hopefully branch out throughout the United States. I go, what was your goal? What's your goal? He's all, well, to be a Grammy Award winner, and I'd be a famous musician, famous singer. And he's like, I did it, but I lost my family in the process.
Ooh. Who was it?
I can't tell you.
Okay.
Confidential.
Okay, you're right.
Privacy thing. I'll tell you off air.
Sign language.
The only sign language I know is the one where I go to Jack in the Box and say, two cheeseburgers. That's my sign language. Anyway,
I can't see you. It's through the intercom.
I know, but I do it anyway. I'm silly. Anyway, so he says to me, I got what I wanted, my wish, my dream come true.
To be famous.
Yes.
And you thought that was going to bring contentment.
Right. Uh-huh. But see, he blew out his family. He worked so hard to get to that point. That's all he wanted.
He lost everything.
Top of the mountain. His wife and kids were just history because, you know, they fought and everything. And that's all he wanted. So he got it. but then it left him empty. In other words, he became famous, but he felt and became empty. And that's why he didn't even know what contentment was, Reba, in those days. He was a Christian, Christian family, but they divorced. And so he learned a lot of lessons from this. He learned that what he wanted more than anything in his life was empty and couldn't fulfill him.
Well, you know, it's amazing to me
something?
That
a Grammy,
even like we hear that and we think, yeah, but, you know, he shouldn't have desired to be famous. But there are things that are a desire that we have, like for your child or for yourself to be well. But we still can't base our contentment on those things.
Right, because then those things are ruling us.
Yeah.
And they own us or possess
us. Even if they're good things.
Right, that's right.
And that's what's wild. You're like, wow, I mean, I can understand being famous or, you know, some of these things that you think of more like luxury items. But even for the wellness and health of your own child.
Sure.
Could really take you to a bad place if you're looking for your soul contentment to be on that.
Exactly. And that's where Jesus says, no, I am your contentment no matter what has to happen in your life for you to say to yourself, I'm truly happy if one of these things on this list happens. See, and that's where this man I'm talking about, he eventually repented. He got his family back and he learned a huge lesson.
Wow.
A huge lesson that, you know, God first, his family second. And these occupational goals after that, Reba. So what we're talking about here is none of these things on the list should have to happen in life for us to be truly happy, because we have Jesus Christ alone, who is enough already to make us happy and content. Got it?
I do. Now, if you checked some of these things on this list, if you first answered, well, I do need to get out of debt before I can be content, or I do feel like I need, you know, fill in the blank to be content. The best way to get back on course and to find your contentment through Christ is through the prayer of change.
The prayer of change.
Do you want to pray that for us?
Absolutely, Reba. I'd be more than happy to. Lord, help us to change, Lord. We won't do it without your power and love and strength, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. Change us, Lord, to be more content. To not have to have something in life happen, Lord, or not happen. The list, the quiz, Lord, for us to become truly content, truly happy, because we have you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the scripture. Help us to keep learning to be content, Jesus, through our lives. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. Wow, what a great message. Now, we've got one more part in this 12-part series on contentment, so make sure you tune in for the grand finale next week. You need to give Tom a call. He's the financial planner that is truly seeking God's counsel for you, for your finances, for his personal finances. You've got a plan for retirement, for children's education, to reduce tax liability. This is the time of year you need to, or you probably are thinking about reducing your tax liability.
Yep.
Invest for special situations and other financial goals. Tom has got more than 28 years of financial counseling experience. You can call him today. The first appointment is free, 800-386-3700. Pick up a copy of his book, Knowing the Economy of God. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God.